It's a psalm that a lot of you probably have memorized. And it's, of course, it's one of those psalms that is read at a funeral. I don't personally believe it's a funeral psalm. I believe it's a psalm for our life. It's for people who are alive. It's comfort for us. It's been on my mind a lot this week. And I'm aware of the time, I'll tell you that. I do not care about the time, though. I'll fill you on that. I just want to share a few thoughts here from Psalm 23. Let's read the entire psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for the comfort we find in Your Word, the truth that we find there. Lord, I pray that You'd lead our service, that You would touch our hearts, that You would teach us something from Your Word. Lord, help us to be open. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a big debate on when David wrote this psalm, whether it was before he became king or after he was king. Was it before the sin with Bathsheba? Was it after? There are a few things that, as we work our way through some of these verses, that it may change exactly what he meant by where it was in the time frame. But ultimately, I don't think it matters a whole lot for us to understand exactly where he was. Although I do think, as he reflects here, it's obvious that it wasn't a good time in his life. It was one of those times when things were starting to pile up on him, and he reflected in the Lord, and he said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." At least that is the way we often come to this psalm, is in hard times. In our world today, you and I, whether we know it or not, are living in this spiritual battle every day. You know, we read the paper and we see that Christians in Morocco or Central Asia or the Mideast, that they're being persecuted and they're really having to fight for their faith. And one of the things that I think Satan has done to us is kind of blind us to the battle that's going on right here in our lives. Every day we're bombarded with temptation, with sinful things and television and magazines, billboards. And we have to subconsciously, sometimes consciously, reflect against that. And that takes energy away from us. We're in a battle. We're having to fight against these things. Sometimes our coworkers aren't Christians, and we have physical things that we have to battle there with not harassment is not the right word, but persecution is not the right word either, but at least resistance from who we are and what we stand for. And today is one of those days, the Lord's Day, that we rest, that we catch our breath, that we get ready for the battle that's coming this week. That's one of the reasons God told us to rest. In the Old Testament, He said for the Israelites to rest on the Sabbath. In the New Testament, we see that celebration of Jesus' resurrection was on Sunday. It was on the first day of the week. And so today, we celebrate His resurrection on the first day of the week, and we should rest. Now, we have a good idea about that as far as physically, I think. You and I, we all go home and we watch TV, we watch the football game, we watch golf with our eyes closed. But the thing that we've kind of missed is this emotional, this spiritual just rest that we should have today. Because while our bodies are resting, our mind is still worried about things that are going to happen this week or things that happened last week. And what we should do is just take a moment just to rest. What David is saying here is that I've got nothing to worry about. The Lord is my shepherd. I've got nothing to worry about. We could say that. That would be a true representation of the text. I shall not want. Now, you and I, sometimes we say, the Lord is my shepherd. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. I shall not want. That's not David. That's not what David's saying. David's not saying that after he does these things, then I'll be okay. He's saying because the Lord is his leader, because the Lord cares for him like a shepherd cares for his sheep, I shall not want. All of these other things flow behind that. If you have the Lord and the earth falls away, it's going to be okay. And for us to rest, for us to really just be able to rest in Him, we've got to come to that conclusion that the New Testament is right when it calls Him the Good Shepherd. That He's not leading us away from good things, He's leading us to good things. A lot of times when you hear people talk about this verse, they spend 95% of their time talking about sheep, and they spend 5% of their time talking about the principle of this passage. I want to talk about sheep just for a second, but it drives me crazy when people do that. They talk about the blood of the sheep and how the sheep has a certain kind of hair, how the shepherd has a certain knob on his staff. Okay, fine. What's the principle of this passage? When shepherds lead their sheep, the sheep have no idea where they're going. Sometimes he has to walk through troublesome areas to get to the good stuff. And when our lives are in that troubled spot, it's hard for us to rest. It's hard for us to say, the Lord's my shepherd. He'll take care of me. But it's what David is reminding us in this passage. That we can take true rest in Him, that He will take care of us. That in the middle of this battle that we're in, that He's still in control. When the enemy looks greater than us, you have to remember that he's not greater than the Lord. And also you have to remember this. The text in the New Testament says that all things work together for good to them love the Lord. It doesn't say that all things are good. It says that all things are working together for His plan, for His glory. We're going to see in a little while. I don't want to get ahead of myself. He's a good shepherd. Verse 1 is all we need. If He stopped right there, we would have what He wanted us to know. He is the shepherd. We are the sheep, and we shall not want. Because He's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, greater than anything we could ever think or ask. And He's our shepherd. He's the one who loves us. We've got no reason to want after that. Now what flows from that? What flows from Him being our shepherd? Well, He makes us to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth us beside the still waters. He restores our soul. Let's just take verse 2. I'm sorry. He takes care of us. That's what He's trying to say. That He takes us to the things that we need. Provision in life is what He's saying. That the Lord is there to take care of us. Doesn't mean we'll always be rich. Doesn't mean that I hesitate to say the word poor, but that we may not have money. Because poor is a state of mind. The Lord will take care of us. Remember in the New Testament, Jesus said, look at the birds. They have no idea where their food comes from. They don't seed. They don't sow. But the Lord feeds them. And how much more important are we than the birds? The Lord is our shepherd. He will take care of us. He gives us our provision. Verse 3, He restoreth my soul. Here's one of those things where we're not real sure. If David is talking about this after the sin, he is more than likely talking about, remember in Psalm 51 where he is just pouring his heart out saying, don't take the joy of my salvation. I want to come back to you. Then he's talking about restoration as far as sinfulness and coming back to the Lord. But what I think he's talking about, and we'll see through this verse why, is that what he's doing is every day he is refreshing us. He's rebuilding us if we'll allow him. He is what we rest in, and therefore he restores us. He refreshes us. He keeps us fresh for battle. This is why I think this. Look at this. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Why are we to walk in? Why does He lead us in the paths of righteousness? Why does He restore us? Why does He lead us to good pasture? Why is He our good shepherd? For His name's sake. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's all about Him. Remember the Catechism says that what is the purpose of man? The purpose of man is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Our purpose is to glorify Him. It's not to glorify ourselves or to go further than the last or to be better than our fathers. It is to glorify Him. That's why He leads us in paths of righteousness. That's why He restores our soul. For His name's sake. Now, some people have said the theme of the verse is the first verse. I think the theme of the verse is that right there. His name's sake. It's why we live. It's why we trust in Him. It's why we do everything that we do. If we're motivated correctly, it's for His name's sake, for His glory, for His honor. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. This is a statement not about death or anything like that, but most of you probably already know this, but when the shepherds went through a cliff where there were great shadows, that's where the prey hid, and that's where they would jump out and attack the sheep. That's what David's talking about, that when he walks through there, when he leads his sheep through there, that God is with him. That even in the presence of his enemies, God is with him. And you and I, today, in this battle, as we try to rest for the battle that's coming up, we have to remember that. That our commander-in-chief, that God himself is with us. That He empowers us through His Holy Spirit as we walk through these troublesome times. Every time you turn on the news, it's never good news. But God is with us. Amen. He is not only protecting us, but He is leading what is happening. He is allowing it to happen. Isn't it a comfort to know that if this thing starts to get out of control, God could snap His fingers or speak or think and it would all stop. He is allowing it. Why? Because verse 3, for His name's sake, for His purposes. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And there are times when we have to trust Him. And that's what David is saying. In the presence of my enemies, in this dark shadow, in the valley of the shadow of death, I'll trust you. Because you're with me. Your rod and your staff, people have tried to tell you what that means and that it's His power and His, who knows what all you could write into that or read into that. But David's principle is this. We can trust Him. That He is for us. If God be for us, who be against us? That's what David is saying. That in the presence of his enemies, in the presence of danger, God is with him. God is protecting him. God is leading his steps. Look at the last verse here, verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There's two principles here. He talks about his life, that surely goodness and mercy will follow him during his life, all the days of his life. But then there's a greater principle. That forever he will dwell in the house of the Lord. That there's something greater than himself. That something is coming after this life that is greater. David's not saying, forever I'll live on the earth and forever I will be king. He's saying, forever I will dwell with the Lord. Forever. I've got something above myself, above my circumstance to hope for. Something to live for. When everything on the earth seems to be just gone in our lives, there's nothing to live for. There's nothing that seems to bring us happiness. There's nothing that is working in our lives. David said there's something to look forward to. That forever we'll live with Him.
Amen.
Forever. I think Brother Jeff said this morning, we spend our entire lives piling up stuff that'll never make it to forever. You and I have greater investments to make in our lives. We need to be investing our time, investing our resources in the kingdom of God. Because it's forever. See, David says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. But he had already been through some rough times. He knew that everything wasn't going to be good, that everything wasn't going to be great. But surely his life when it was led by the Lord, would be governed by mercy, would be governed by goodness in general. And he said, I can trust in that. I can trust in that the Lord is leading my life. I can trust that I will dwell in His house forever. What a great promise.
Amen.
That when everything on this earth is falling apart, we can remember that this earth is going to fall apart anyway. It's a matter of time. It's inevitable. Things will break down here. It's inevitable. It's going to happen. But just as sure as that is, we can be sure that the things there, the things in heaven, the things that are eternal, they never break down. There's never rust. There's never a moth to eat your clothes. There's never a thief that steals. The Bible has those promises. And forever, we're going to be with Him. Look at verse 1 again. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. There are so many people in our world today that are depressed because they can't get a hold of that verse. Because they can't, not the verse, the promise behind that verse. They're too busy worried about what's going to happen tomorrow, what's going to happen tonight, what's going to happen with fill in the blank. And they bring their mental health down because they can't just rest in Him. Today is that day of rest. Physical. I think we have a hold on physical. But emotional, spiritual. Can we just say, He's my shepherd. He's the Lord. I shall not want. I shall not worry when I go to sleep tonight because He is in control just like He was yesterday. Just like He was in Noah's time the day before it rained. He was in control. He decided what was going to happen. And it was best for Him, for His plan. Can we rest in His plan? And then when we can, we've got to know this. That He's the good shepherd. That He wants good things for us. That He wants us to live a life that magnifies Him. That glorifies Him. Today, as we go home tonight, are we going to be able to finish our day resting in Him? If we can't, the truth is, it's sin. If we don't trust Him enough to let Him lead our lives, we're not where we should be with the Lord. And I challenge you to look at your heart, to decide today, am I just going to trust Him? Am I just going to let him lead? Once you get there, I'll tell you a secret. I think I've said this before in here. Your pillow will be softer. Your mattress will sleep better. You won't toss and turn as much. Yes, there are things in the world that should concern us, that we should be mindful of, but ultimately, He is in control. Do we have enough faith in Him to let Him lead? To let our lives be governed by Him? That's the question. It's a comforting verse for us that do trust Him. Because He leads us in all of these things. I think I counted 10 promises in there. All of those, we can trust Him. We can trust Him. The question is, will we? Will we do it? Let's pray. Lord, tonight we thank You again for the comfort we find in Your Word, for the direction of our lives. Lord, I pray that You'd help us to trust You. I pray that You guide us as we seek to fulfill Your will. Lord, that You would get glory in our lives. We love You, Lord, and we trust You. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, bless you, Brother Mick.
We're going to ask, I'm going to ask Brother Steve to lead us in number 80 tonight, Day by Day. It'll be a good song to close the service with, I think. And I had that on my mind to do that. Maybe it's the leadership of the Lord. Maybe it's because it's one of my favorite songs. But I couldn't help but think about it when he was singing that song, reading from Psalm 23 and preaching on that, what he was saying tonight. Jesus spoke to this issue in Matthew chapter 6, in the Sermon on the Mount. And he really said it's foolish to worry. He said you can't make yourself grow anymore. And beside that, God knows the very hairs of your head. And he said, the sparrow doesn't sow, and yet God feeds it. And he said, the lilies of the field are clothed better than Solomon ever was. And God does that. And so don't waste your time worrying. Put the kingdom first. And I don't know how far you take that, but that is a passage that is one of those anchors in my life that keeps pulling me about every time I think about getting in the swing of this world and all of the ways they do. Jesus keeps saying to me, you can't make yourself grow one inch taller. And I've got a record of your hairs, even though it's falling out. And I'll take care of you. And I believe that. I have to believe it. I have to believe it when I'm 48 years old that God will be faithful when I'm 68. And I've never gone hungry. You probably, most of you, never have. Never have. And most of the things I ever worried about were a waste of time. Isn't that the truth? How many nights sleep have you lost? I can confess to you, I've lost some nights sleep or stuff. And I look back and I think, what in the world were you thinking? Like old Fence Hatter said, he read in the scriptures with the Lord, neither slumbers nor sleeps. And he said, dear Lord, he had gone through insomnia and said, dear Lord, if you're going to stay awake, then don't need me staying awake. And old Vance Hatter said that. But that's a blessing. Mick, we always enjoy having you preach for us and kind of give us I like to, somebody just take a comforting scripture like that and give us some encouragement, don't you? Let's stand together and sing this Day by Day. I'm,